Since then, I've seen the day I've announced six packages of significant funding. Today, I'm also signing an additional package for $225 million to help you reconstruct the electric grid. And once we got the National Security Bill passed,
Oh my gosh, this is how we're starting off our Friday.
So
first off, what the hell did he say? If it wasn't for like the press, members of the of Pravda providing a transcript, I wouldn't know what the hell he's saying. Because all I hear is, he's trying to eat hard Cap'n Crunch. You know, like when you would first pour Cap'n Crunch in the bowl and it's real hard and it like slices and dices the roof of your mouth and it's like sweet, sweet, delicious pain. And anyway, I don't know where I'm going with this. It sounds like he's got a whole mouthful of Cap'n Crunch. It's Friday. Welcome to the show. It's Friday. Your girl's fighting off a migraine because Texas weather's like, we're going to change at 30 degrees in a span of 2 days. Whoop-a-doo. So we're all on the struggle bus here at Shea Dana, at Dana HQ. But it's good to be with you. We had to come in and we had to talk some smack this Friday. And then we'll pray, say, ask forgiveness about it Sunday. But we got to talk about it, you know, today. So welcome. Top of the first hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. Watch the video portion of the simulcast. Somebody goes, why are you looking down sometimes? Because I don't have a teleprompter. It's a simulcast of a radio show. And I've got all oodles of goodies on my screen that I'm sharing with you. And I gotta quote them and cite them and all that stuff. So I've got a million things on. I mean, it's basically a half a person size monitor, I think. Yeah.
Three quarters of a good,
you know, for a diminutive person. Yeah. So welcome. Good to be with you. X Rumble, YouTube, all that stuff. You can find us there. All right. So okay. We didn't really hear what he said, but we know what he said from the transcript. Do you really want to know? Because you're going to get mad. It's Friday, though. We're trying to get the people happy going into their weekend, you know?
What did he say to his money launderer?
Oh, well, he said that he was sorry that there was, that he was sending him $225 million of our money extra. Yeah, and then he apologized to him.
What?
You know, audio soundbite, too. He said he was sorry that Zelensky didn't get our $225 million to him in a speedy enough fashion.
That's, seriously?
If you can understand what he says here, it's blah, 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 here it is.
You haven't bowed down. You haven't yielded at all. You continue to fight in a way that is just remarkable. Just remarkable. And I'm not going to walk away from you. I apologize for those weeks of not knowing what's going to happen in terms of funding, because we had trouble getting the bill that we had to pass that had the money in it from some of our very conservative members who were holding it up. But we got it done finally.
I can't afford him.
Me neither.
I cannot afford Biden. I cannot afford this cat. I cannot afford that little man that he's sitting there with. Was that in the like one of the blue room or something of the White House? I'm trying to remember. Is it the blue room? I have not had enough caffeine for this today, or liquor or anything else. Something. I mean, $225 million in addition to all the other billions that we have given him. Holy cow, Kane! Can we claim him as a dependent?
We should be able to.
I mean, he's like, you know, fun size. He could pass as a kid.
We could claim Biden and Zelensky.
Well, yeah. But particularly that little Zelensky feller. Couldn't we claim him as a dependent? No, I'm asking for the 10.2 million people that comprise our entire listening audience and viewing audience. I'm asking for all of us. Can we all claim him?
I honestly think we should put him on as a dependent. Everybody should do it.
I agree.
Everybody should do it.
I am right there. Another $225 million. For what? For what? What is it going for? Pensions? You remember, oh gosh. Yeah, I'm not going to play it because it's she was speaking. Yeah, you're not going to understand her language, and there wasn't a translator at the time. There was a transcript of it later. But it was the deputy prime minister, and she had said that if the EU and the United States were not honoring their monetary promises, that, oh, knows, quelle horreur, that it was going to be, they were going to be unable to pay their pensions and this other stuff. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, that should be, you know, the entitled, that should be the last thing on your mind. You're in a war. I would think that you're, I don't know, maybe trying to keep people alive, you know, or maybe stave off the Russians from coming in further. Just a thought, you know, I mean, that's just me. You know, I'm thinking of the silly, you know, the silly things. Maybe that's not important to people like, you know, Biden, et cetera, et cetera. And so I am just fascinated with this. An additional $225 million. And can I just point out, and I'm sorry I'm like spending an inordinate amount of time on it, but you guys know I love looking at body language. I actually watched this. It's kind of a guilty pleasure. I watched this guy on YouTube called the Body Language Guy. He's hysterical. And he does all the body language stuff. And he gets down into it. And I watch it. I'm like, yes, I'll be in the kitchen. I'll be making dinner, right? I'll be like making pasta or making a sauce or something. I'm in the kitchen. I'm watching. I'm like, yes. And I like things are boiling over. And I'm sitting here. Oh, yes, that's right. But I was looking. Now I know what to look for. I feel like an expert. I was looking at his body language. Did you see the way Zelensky was sitting? Like he's sitting ramrod straight and he's got his, you know, his hand up and he's nodding his head like, yes, I know you owe me the monies. Oh, yes, I understand. Almost, it seemed patronizing, did it not?
Yeah.
It seemed a little patronizing the way he was sitting there and the way that he was shaking his head like, yes. Like imagine you're the parent and your kid comes up and like, oh, I accidentally rear-ended somebody in the school parking lot. And you're like, yes, yeah, you know, I gave me those vibes. Am I over? It's because I watched that damn channel. I'm like an expert on body language now. I find myself in restaurants and I'm staring at people, not like in a creep, okay, maybe in a creepy way, but I'm like not like creepy and I'm reading body language because I feel like I am an expert now because that body language guy.
I'm with you on that. I just think that both of them have been trained, quote unquote, to be in front of the camera and not give tells intentionally. So you have to kind of
Everybody's got to tell.
I know they do, but I'm just saying you have to kind of throw in that idea as well.
Do you think Biden's, he wasn't even aware that there wasn't he can't sit. You think that he's aware of his tells? You're giving that desiccated old turd way too much credit, Kane.
Listen here, fat.
You dog-faced pony soldier. I'm surprised. Like I said yesterday, I think the reason that he left so quickly is because he was trying to fight all the veterans there. That's just my thought. Yeah, he's not even aware of where he is or whether or not he can sit. Is this a chair? It's the air, Joe. Stand up. Somebody got sassy with me because they said, Jana, you know there was a chair back there. It was a little bit away from him. He would actually had to take a step, almost a step and a half back to sit because they had other people up there at that moment when they did other parts of the ceremony. And when it showed them sitting, they had to take a step or two back to sit. So stop. I think it's a spatial thing. And also, he looked like he was going to drop a deuce. And if everyone's going to sit here and call people who didn't vote for Hillary Clinton racist, call gun owners domestic terrorists, or say that the laptop was Russian misinformation, I sure as hell am going to make a joke about the president looking like he's dropping a deuce on Normandy's, you know, the 80th observance because he was trying to sit in an imaginary chair. Shut up. I get that. We are owed. Owed. All right, so I have, you know, I'm right. I have a few other things to touch on. Man, this trial, the Hunter Biden trial. So I got a question. I know we pay for the travel of Biden and, you know, the first lady. They were over in Normandy. She flew back. That had to have been like a 24-hour flight. Well, it's about, to France is probably, what, 10 hours?
Yeah.
Maybe nine hours going to depending on what airport they flew into. She probably flew into Britain. I don't know where they flew into. Anyway, she flew in. She was at the trial this morning. Yesterday, she was in Normandy babysitting Joe. Today, she's at the trial with Joe's scumbag of a crackhead, you know, 50-something-year-old baby infant. And she was there as the case continued, because I think prosecution rested today. They had his uncle who's testifying, who was there, his daughter, Naomi, apparently. Can you imagine? Sidebar. You're such a crappy dad that your daughter has to testify in your drugs and strippers case. It's really your gun case, but all the drugs and strippers are involved. And imagine hearing your aunt, who is also your dad's former lover, explain how he got you hooked on crack. How he got her hooked on crack. And your daughter sitting there listening to this. Jiminy Christmas. So they were all there today. My question is that we paid for her to travel back to hunt for Hunter's thing. We did. And whenever Hunter and his Instagram influencer, snotty wife, who I think is trying to dress like Melania Trump, I think she's trying to totally cop her style. Don't ask me to get into it because we'll go down a rabbit hole that you wish you never asked to go down. She's really snotty. You know, you paid when they went on, when they go on Air Force One and when they go with the president, you know that we're paying for them too. So she was there at the trial. Now get this. London Roberts, one of the baby mamas. London Roberts was the dancer that he met in D.C. who's from Kentucky. And he's the one that they had the daughter that the Bidens will not acknowledge. They barely acknowledged. And he had London Roberts, remember, on the Seneca Rosemont's insurance. And then when he decided he was done with her and he was going to break up with her, they dropped her. She was pregnant at the time. They dropped her from the insurance. So it's coming out how bad. I mean, you guys know that Hunter Biden's a scumbag, but now Democrats are having to, like, you know, choke this down because they had disowned Navy Roberts. Then they acknowledged her. And then the president said he has four granddaughters in March. He has five granddaughters in March of this year. Joe Biden said he had four granddaughters. He has five. And maybe this is a good time for Democrats to admit he's senile, because that's the only excuse you're getting for that. And so they did a new interview with London Roberts. And I think she's going to be testifying. Like, they've testified against each other when they were doing the child support battle. But Jill and Joe, they go to their Delaware beach house all the time, right? And they said that this interview, she said that none of the Biden family have ever met the little girl, ever met her. Biden, or I think Hunter's met her once, but they've never met her. And they've never apparently wanted to meet her. So when he acts like he's like this caring dad, that's a ruse. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. And I just don't know how you can, I don't know how you can believe that. So this is, that laptop's been entered in as evidence. This is just a big old hot mess. We're going to continue following it. I honestly, I don't see how you don't get a conviction in this. I know it's Delaware and I know it's on their home turf, but the evidence is overwhelming. If he wouldn't have written that memoir, I think that's like 70% of the evidence that they have against him, because he had done subsequent interviews talking about how those were his words. Every bit of it was true. And then he tried to go back and say that that wasn't his words. None of it's true, etc. We're going to talk more about this because Lorraine's fisking him over at Substack, over at Chapter and Verse. So get ready for that one, because the trial is just. So we're going to go over some of this stuff because I think it's important to know, right? Also, we got some 2024. Oh, boy, I got some culture for you. Ooh. It's not the vax. Kane's going to love that part of the show. It's not the vax. We also have Pete Hegseth going to be joining us. And later on, Texas Governor Greg Abbott. The deluge at the border continues despite the president's executive order. Imagine that. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up. You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Morgan Wallen has set a new record surpassing Taylor Swift on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, according to chart data and Daily Caller. The country singer surpassed Swift and Roddy Ricch for the most weeks at number one this decade. He achieved this milestone with his latest collaboration with Texas's own Grapevine Zone, Post Malone. I Had Some Help is what the track's called, and it's now held the top spot for 19 weeks. And so he beat Taylor Swift at that. They Want You Afraid of Everything. Cows infected with bird flu are kicking the bucket in numerous states. They want you to be terrified. They want to be like, you can't eat cows, you can't eat beef because you're going to get the bird flu. No, this is so ridiculous. Now they're saying there's going to be a huge economic toll in the farm belt. Farmers have long culled poultry infected by the virus. Cows cost much more to raise, obviously, than chickens or turkeys. So they said South Dakota, Michigan, Texas, Ohio, and Colorado. There have been a number of cows that were either killed or died. They died of bird flu, according to Reuters. But they're still trying to confirm some of these numbers. Of course they are. So just, you know, be smart and just, you know, herd health and all that jazz. Let's see. They removed Rob Schneider at a charity event over his jokes on Trans Tifa and the Vax cult. They removed him from the stage because they're not funny. It was the Hospitals of Regina Foundation Saturday night at the Four Seasons Balls. No pun intended. And according to the Regina Leader Post, witnesses said that he was roundly booed and his stand-up routine ended early. And they said it. His stuff, he made jokes about Trans Tifa. He made jokes about the Vax. And those are no-nos. The zombies don't like it when you do it. It riles them up. It's true. Americans approve of alphabet people living as they wish, but their support totally drops for trans people because trans people are trying to shove it down your throat. Yeah. Well, it's true. I mean, there's less support because they're like, why do you have to bring the kids into it? Why do you got to do this? Why do you got to do that? It makes sense. Rare and unusual cancers. Weird cancers are emerging after COVID. And it's probably not the Vax at all. Couldn't be the Vax at all. We're going to talk about this a little bit here coming up. Stick with us. More in store. You need some protection. You need to protect and diversify your savings with precious metals like gold and silver before it's too late. And there are thousands of concerned Americans, myself included. We don't want to jeopardize what we've worked so hard for. We don't want to watch the government keep putting savings at risk with national debt and everything else. So right now, you can get a free 2024 Wealth Protection Guide from Gold Co. It's going to arm you with everything you need to know about how precious metals can help you in the face of inflation, war, exploding national debt, so much more. And you could be eligible for a 10% instant match and bonus silver while supplies last. So I wouldn't sleep on that. And Gold Co., thousands of five-star reviews, perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And they've helped people like you and me place over $2.5 billion in gold and silver. And they want to make sure that you understand the economy of how it all works, how gold IRAs work, and they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning actual physical gold or silver. It's a very important part of your retirement and savings. No pressure. Visit DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit DanaLikesGold.com.
Looking for the drive-thru version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
What do you think the American people should make of this? How important do you think this conviction should be in this race for president?
That's for the public to decide, but one thing for certain is stop undermining the rule of law. Stop undermining the institutions. That's what this whole effort is. All the MAGA Republicans are coming out saying this was a fix, this was a jury that this was a judge that set up to get Trump. There's no evidence of any of that. None. He's trying to undermine it. Look, he got a fair trial. The jury spoke like they speak in all cases, and it should be respected.
Wait, what? First off, if he thinks the rule of law is to be, accepted, guys, remind me how he handled the Supreme Court's decision on the student loan debt. Remember that? Because he's doing it still anyway. He's still doing it. He's still sharing the debt, forcing you to co-sign stuff. He's doing all this stuff, and then they do this optics. Like, they do all this optics stuff, like little bitty cosmetic things to make it seem like, oh, we're reaching out and touching these different demos. You know, well, Trump's a racist. Maybe the black voters won't vote for him. Or he's like, yeah, alphabet this and that to try to. But then what does that do to your cost of living? Nothing. What does it do to the fact that you literally have now been forced to co-sign someone else's loan. And you now assume that debt. Oh, that's coming. That bill comes due. It is, it's infuriating. Again, we work too hard for this.
Jim Clyburn doesn't agree with you at all on Cut 17. He doesn't think that this is a price.
I'm trying not to blow up.
Even costs anything.
What are you doing to me?
He's saying it doesn't cost anything.
This is like if you're in Warhammer and you're the Psyker and you're doing too many things at once and your Quell level gets really high and you got to stop and...
Right.
Or your peril, rather, gets really high and then you got to stop and quell it. You're making me spit out these sound bites that are going to get me all mad all at once, and then my head's going to explode because I'm not going to be able to quell my peril. What is the problem?
I'm going to pretend I understood that analogy. And,
oh, my
yeah,
gosh.
Listen,
you know what? We could be playing that, but you all won't get Warhammer. It's fine. It's fine.
It's Clyburn.
Just go ahead.
What has happened in the last 4 years on student debt, for instance? Joe Biden has eliminated, just in public service student loan debt alone, over $60 billion for people saddled with student loan debt.
And who's paying for that, Congressman? It's all well and good, but who's paying for it?
What do you mean, who's paying for it?
Who's paying for that debt relief? Who's doing it?
Nobody is paying for that relief. This is interest. This is not the principal. The principals paid back a long, long, long time ago.
Wait, what? Money, how does it work? How does money work? How has the principal been paid back a long time ago?
Well, then what is interest accruing on?
Exactly. How in the hell do you have interest if the principal has been paid back a long time ago? People know what these terms mean, right? Did anyone make Carol Roth aware of his soundbite? Because holy cow, her head would blow up. She's always said that that the greatest illiteracy is economic illiteracy. She's right. There's James Clyburn. He's in the Senate. Oh my gosh, my voice went up to like Everest level. He's in the Senate. He's in the Senate, guys. Oh my word. Well, yeah, it's just the interest. The principal has been paid off a long time ago. So then the interest comes from where? I don't know. I know nothing about math and numbers. Business numbers. I don't know. You know what happened? Why? And we've talked about this before, but just to recap, you know why it got super expensive, right? Because back under Obama Biden, Democrats decided as part of one of his big spending bills, they took over the student loan industry. They literally just hijacked it. Carjacked it. They took it and they made it fall under federal purview. And so the federal government began controlling all the student loans. And that just jacked up the debt, jacked up all of it. And they were warned about this because this was back when, this is like what, 2009 maybe, when this happened? I was trying to remember, it was part of one of the big spending bills. And I think it was done before the healthcare, maybe it's not for the healthcare, but anyway, long story short, Democrats, and my friend Glenn Reynolds over at Instapundit, who is an educator, has gone after this repeatedly. He even wrote a small book about it that you can get on Amazon. But they took control of the student loan industry, for the lack of a better way to put it. And with government controlling it, colleges were like, oh, we got assurances now. We can charge whatever. It's going to get paid for no matter what we charge. And that's what ended up happening. And I was exiting college and I remember that was something Democrats had been talking about when they were running against George W. Bush. I remember John Kerry touching on it. When Barack Obama got into office, it was like that talk ballooned into an actual concrete policy. And then after he was elected, then they started pushing it and got it passed. Elizabeth Warren, who was just in office, she was a new senator. She voted for it. Bernie Sanders voted for it. All of these Democrats voted for it. And I remember at the time saying on air, watch what happens. They're going to vote to federalize this. And then they're going to turn around and complain in 3 months that, oh my gosh, why is it so expensive? Because it was within a year that college costs began to skyrocket. I always thought that they were kind of inflated anyway, but it was really bad after this. And that was the whole, I mean, the whole point, they were controlling it, it became a big old money grab. And all the people who were seeking higher education, they paid for it. Like with, and then now we all pay for it. And Clyburn voted for it. Clyburn was the Democrat in office who voted for that. He voted to federalize student loans. All these people that are complaining about the cost of college literally voted for increasing it, which is what blows my mind. The people who are like, I'm going to vote Democrat because I want to, you know, deal with the cost of college. You are voting for the people who literally made it unaffordable. Are you high? How many brain cells do you have? Are you the product of incest? What the hell's wrong with you? You're voting for the people who literally made it exorbitantly expensive. I had a friend who was going, she was actually, she became a, or went into orthopedic surgery. She was a Democrat, and that issue alone made her become a Republican. Now she's like a hardcore Republican. But that issue flipped her alone. That was it. Because she was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. People know how the finance, they know how finance works, right? I'm like, no, they don't. They don't. They literally don't. So now here we are. But it's a vote buying scheme. But even those people who might be swayed, I wish that they would understand, first off, you're saddling everyone else with your debt. And that creates a resentment amongst the American public. I get very angry at people who think that we all have a duty to pay for debts they willingly chose to enter into, and that we're supposed to just be forced to co-sign, which is asinine. And it's selfish. It's selfish on their part. It's greedy on their part. They always rail about capitalists, whatever. No, being actually trying to commandeer other people's money, the fruits of other people's labor that you didn't earn, that's actually selfish. They always attribute those aspects to capitalism. That's not capitalism. That's you being a selfish brat and lazy and taking on all this debt and then voting for the people who made it expensive. It's stupid and lazy. But it's a temporary fix for you. Does it help with inflation? Is it helping you afford to purchase a home? Are you able to start a business easier? Hell, are you able to pay less at the gas pump? No. These people are too stupid to realize they're getting just a pat on the head and everything else is still going to hell in a handbasket. They're just having an immediate need satisfied now. But what about all of the other stuff? Now, they don't pay attention to that. They don't pay attention to that. Oh, Kane asked Carol about it. Carol's head's going to blow up. We're going to have her on just to get like a, probably have to have her on Monday just to get like, even if it's a 2-minute reaction of hate from Carol Roth, it'd be worth it. So while we got all this, we got the more money going towards Ukraine, more money going towards Ukraine, and 250 something million again now?
225.
Oh, 225 million.
And an apology.
Oh, yeah, they got the apology. I want to touch on one thing real quick. Have you guys seen this? I'm just sure you've seen it going around on social media. The fat national American Miss Alabama. All right, we got to be careful with this. So that is not, I'm sure you've seen it. It's been everywhere. They're like, this is the new Miss Alabama. Can you believe this woman? And she's obese. I'm not saying it to be ignorant and make fun of her size. This chick is literally morbidly obese. It is unhealthy. She is morbidly obese. That is not healthy. That's not body conscious. That's taking the lazy way out and making people more comfortable in harming themselves. But it's like a body positivity sort of pageant. So this chick, it's being promoted all over social media by a lot of our friends as this is the Miss Alabama. This is the new Miss Alabama. Can you believe it? This is the Miss Alabama. It's not, though. She is there's the Miss Alabama pageant, and then there's the National American Miss pageant. They are two entirely different things. So this 23-year-old woman won the title because she shared her body positivity method. She won the National American Miss Alabama. The actual Miss Alabama looks like a living, breathing Barbie doll. She's a very pretty young woman. This woman is not the actual Miss Alabama, as you know, Miss Alabama. It's the National American. There's all these different pageants out there. And the Miss Alabama, she looks like she looks like a beauty pageant winner, like you would think. So this Diane Westhoven is Miss Alabama. Sarah Milligan is the National American Miss. And the participants apparently are a younger demographic. So Miss Alabama is older. National American Miss is younger. So that, you know, there you go. And it's not that she's an ugly woman. Her face, she's very pretty in her face. Her hair's very pretty. She's just so morbidly obese that I don't see a long lifespan for her because of her health that is impacted by her size. It's not healthy. And it's not ignorant. It's not bigoted to say that. Just like if you see someone cutting open their veins, you would be like, wow, that's not healthy for you. How dare you be bigoted? You see what I mean? It's not healthy. It is. That's a killer. And so, I don't know. I'm amazed at, you know, it spread and everyone was mad at the Miss Alabama pageant. They're not the same. They're two totally different things. So I want to make sure that we're right on that. By the way, speaking of, you know, correcting stuff, Steve corrected me. It's Wallen, not Waylon. I always think of Waylon Jennings. Who's the best? Waylon Jennings is the GOAT. It's Morgan Wallen. I always immediately think of, see everything. I'm like, Waylon. I know who he is. I hear and think, and Steve was like, I got to tell you, it's not Waylon. It's Wallen. That sounds weird for me to say. Like, it's, whenever I talk about like the MyPillow people, I have to stop myself because I want to say pillow. And we have this huge fight on air every time, or off air. I say things weird and I blame it from, it's like an Ozark twang, being from Southern Missouri. I say milk, I say warsh, and I say pillow. And my kids are going nuts because they're like, there's no R in it. Where is warsh? I'm like, I don't care. Do you need the washing machine? And when I'm on air, and especially if I'm doing lives, I have to be very careful with how I say words, right? And I sometimes feel like I sound fruit because I'm like, wash. That sounds so weird. Sounds so weird.
It's weird because you make it all long at the ah part.
Yeah, because it's
just wash.
Wash.
No,
that sounds so dumb. It's warsh. It sounds way better. We got to move. It's warsh. As we do so, you don't have to pay an arm and a leg to have good coffee. And that's what Black Rifle Coffee believes. And that's what they produce. They get the best beans. They roast them 5 days a week at their facilities in Tennessee and Utah. They hire active duty and retired veterans. And everything from the roast to the bag art, everything pays homage to American culture and our military history. This is premium coffee for people who love America. They have the best. This is the best coffee. I will not drink any other swill. When I travel, I literally will not drink other coffee. I'm not even joking you. I'm an absolute horror to deal with. I'm a brat. I'm a nightmare. I will only drink this because everything else tastes horrible compared to it. They have all kinds. They have ground. They have K-cups. They have whole bean ready to drink. I just tried one of their iced coffees. You know, I'm literally like this years old and I've only had two iced coffees in my life. And one of them was theirs, and it was one of the best things I've ever had. I always thought it was too fruity, you know what I mean, like with a skirt. It's actually delicious. So try it for yourself, all the coffees at blackriflecoffee.com. Join the coffee club when you sign up. You're going to get free shipping to your house on whatever you want, whatever coffee you want, how often you want it delivered. Save 20% with code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com. Dana sent you.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
We stand. We stand. We will not be bored.
Where was that at? That was not in the US of A.
That was in Britain, yeah.
It's in Britain. The Brits' reaction. They did not like Barack Obama, nor did they like Joe Biden. But when Trump's face came up, they all cheered. Welcome back to the show. I don't know why I had a British accent, but I did. Welcome back to the show. I saw a meme that said, what was it? I can't remember what it was. And I just had a Joe Biden moment. What the heck? Here, no, I got to read my meme. Hold up. Australians are just British Texans. That makes more sense than almost anything I've heard today. right?
That makes total sense.
That makes complete sense. Like, you hear it and you're like, wait, what? Yeah, Australians are British Texans. And you're like, wait, oh. That makes sense. Yes, I see that.
Now that we're finding alligators in North Texas.
I think they've always been here. It's the water.
I don't know.
They just appear, man. I don't know. They appear. I don't know. Like, anywhere from, like, East Texas all the way past Florida, I'm like, that's Gator Town. Don't be getting in no water because that's straight up where them gators live. No. And not going to have it. All right, so welcome back to the program. Coming up in our second hour, let me just give you a rundown of what we got going on. Pete Hegseth, he's got a book out, The War on Warriors, Behind the Betrayal of Men Who Keep Us Free. I had a friend who was real. I know a couple of people who were really targeted by DOD, and one of them, did not do anything wrong. And there's just like this prevailing thought that there is an effort underway to kind of, you know, I don't know if they're trying to keep some of the special op warfighters in check or what it is, but they're just very adversarial towards them after they leave service. And it's very odd. We're going to talk about some of that. I've talked about this with my friend Jack Carr before as well. He's a author of Terminalist, which is also a series starring Chris Pratt on Amazon. He's going to be joining us later this month. And then coming up in our third hour, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, because, you know, I'm sure he doesn't have a problem with the border anymore because Biden fixed it, Kane. It's all fixed up. He went out there. He got that. It's like that QVC kind of commercial about, is it like the tape that they put on stuff? This guy taped a boat together and he floated on it. It's like Joe Biden went down there to that wall and just put some tape on it.
Flex tape.
Flex tape. Flex seal. He just went down there and flexed seal the border. I don't think that happened. We're going to talk about that with Governor Greg Abbott. We got a lot on the way. Stick with us. Second hour coming up. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we ended up calling, we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up, you have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at ammosquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's ammosquared.com.
I think you have so much to do, you don't have time to get even. You only have time to get right.
Well, revenge does take time, I will say that.
It does.
And sometimes revenge can be justified, Phil. I have to be honest. You know, sometimes it can.
But is the country better or worse for them going after you?
I think the country is really worse for what they've done. And I think you see that when you look at the poll numbers. When you see that almost $400 million has poured in since this horrible decision was made. That was a few days ago. Numbers that nobody's ever heard of in politics before. It's a great honor. The people of our country get it. You know, they're very smart. Taken as a whole, I have to say, they're very smart. But it's been an honor being with you. It really has. And I think you'd be very proud of it.
That's the president who was talking, did an interview the other day. He's saying revenge can be, you know, sometimes revenge can be justified. I got to be honest with you, I'm on the struggle bus with that one. I mean, I know the proper answer to say, but do I want to do it? Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of the second hour. We don't know what's going on. Everything's weird. Top of the second hour this Friday. And you can listen to us coast to coast. You can stream if you're watching us. You know, you're watching the video stream. That's of the radio program. And you can also find us. Where are we? Like Rumble, X, Facebook, YouTube, all the things. There's a chat. The chat's on the YouTube, right? Rumble. Chat's on Rumble. And you can find us there. Hang out. Chill. So Trump's like, yeah, sometimes revenge can be justified. Now, I know what the Bible says. Look, I have a couple vices in my life. I was raised in a family of sailors. And I also really have to fight with myself to not celebrate Schadenfreude, right? When your enemy suffers something and you want to cheer, but you don't because you don't want God to whip around and point the finger at you. Saying. So I get what he's saying. But see, he's being at least honest about it. Love it or hate it, he's being honest about, you know, like, yeah, I might want to take some revenge, right? I told you guys, never put me in elected office. I would never vote. I would never want to represent any of you people that would vote for me. Again, Gladriel with the one ring. You don't want that. Because I absolutely would go and seek revenge on people. Oh, completely. I would abuse every elected office to do it. I would, oh my gosh, it would be just chaos. So I get what he's saying. He's like, sometimes revenge can be justified. But wait, is it revenge? Hang on. Tell me, Kane, if I'm playing semantics here. Sorry. Is it revenge or is it accountability?
In this case, I'd say accountability.
See, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that's exactly what Democrats are trying to convince others that they're doing. We're just trying to hold the president
accountable for what?
Accountable for those, you know, payments.
That's exactly how they sound, Kane.
For those payments.
Those payments. You mean his own private payments?
Yeah.
Look, I'm not saying that banging a chonky skank while you're married to a hot woman and she's expecting your baby is a right thing to do. But to pay the chonky skank, if that was indeed what happened.
It's not 34 felonies. Let's just put
it's not it that 34 way. Felonies. Those are little process things. We talked to Andy McCarthy about that. But it's also not illegal. There's a difference. Immoral and illegal. I mean, they're not the same thing. Otherwise, people who went to Planned Parenthood as an exercise in post-birth control, they would be in trouble. You see what I'm saying? So just because something is legal doesn't mean it's moral. And just because something is immoral doesn't make it illegal. There's differences here. And so I look at this and I'm like, yeah, I get that. I think it's, to me, it seems like it's a little bit, I get it. Especially when you consider just how involved this White House has been in this stuff. One of the things that I can't get over is that Matthew Colangelo guy. He was the federal prosecutor who was in charge of, you know, bringing all these charges up to the forefront, etc. How do you he was in the Biden Department of Justice. He was number three behind Merrick Garland. He was the number three guy behind Merrick Garland. He was one of the top ranking prosecutors in the country. And he literally takes a demotion and transfers to New York to join Alvin Bragg's team for this trial. For the New York trial. Oh, I'm sure it's just a coincidence. There are no coincidences in politics. There are absolutely no coincidences in politics. None. And so it's not shocking. It's not a controversial thing to say that it was completely organized and spearheaded by this administration. So, you know, when I hear, you know, 45 going, well, yeah, sometimes revenge can be justified. Sir, you're wrong. You're wrong to say that. It's not revenge, it's accountability. Sometimes accountability can be justified. Accountability is always justified. And then there's the shooting star rainbow, the more you know. So that's kind of how I look at this thing. I always get at people, because I think that soundbite was making the rounds and you had some people out there going, no, that's not me, shut up. It's not revenge. Say it with me. It is accountability. That's what it is. All right. So this, I'm going to switch gears here. The manifesto's out. Finally. The Nashville murderer. Remember how long and how hard the FBI fought to have that? They didn't want that revealed. They didn't want it out. The trans killer who wrote about her torture. She was a girl who wanted to be a dude and didn't like her upbringing, didn't like all this stuff. And she had a journal. I can't say this journal entry, can I? Her imaginary, it was called My Imaginary Male Copulatory Organ. That's like how some of her journal entries began. She would say that her phallus existed in her head and that she swears she's a male. And she said that being raised as a girl was torture, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And she wrote that she realized changing one's gender is possible. These are her journal entries. Her mom was not supportive. And she said she hated her parents' views. Her mom did not want a son. She wanted her daughter, etc. She wanted to be on puberty blockers, all this stuff. I mean, this chick was troubled. Seriously. And I got to say, I feel like the parents, I feel like when you see your kids struggling like that, again, and we talked about this yesterday, you don't sit here and you aid your kid in weakness. You work to make them stronger. She literally, in her journal entries, felt like she had an imaginary phallus. That's a mental illness. Like when you're trying to manifest appendages, I mean, if I were trying to manifest having $1 billion, we talked about this, then people would be like, Dana, you're mentally ill. You're not a billionaire. No. I have a big old pile of Scrooge McDuck money. Where's it at? Who stole it? Somebody has my money. Dana, you're mentally ill. Right? You would start to sound crazy after a while. I'm not going to read or quote everything that is in her journals because everything's online now. It's, you can't read these and think that she is stable. Something is wrong more than, to me, it seems like there's something else that's not firing in her mind that goes beyond a selfish ambition to make everyone affirm how she sees herself in her head. You know, it's one thing if there's someone who wants to be a woman, knows that they're not a woman, wants to dress as a woman. And I'm not saying, this is not about endorsement or anything else like this. I'm trying to explain the difference in the mental aspect here. There's a major, major difference between somebody who thinks that they are a man, who thinks that he's a woman, wants to be a woman, but knows that he's not a woman, but wants to be a woman anyway, but knows that he's not, and is realistic. And someone who wants to be a member of the opposite sex and believes that they have like phantom appendages and they really are, and that other people aren't seeing it, there's a difference. And that's the kind of stuff that she was writing about. And I'm not justifying, I mean, good heavens, no, I think she's also evil. I think if you're killing people, you're going into a Christian school because it's a Christian school and you're targeting Christian school children because you're trying to go for the weakest, most vulnerable, and most painful target, you're evil. You are absolutely evil. Mental illness is not evil. They are separate things. She chose to be evil in addition to this. She chose the evil. And so I'm looking at all this stuff. Clearly her parents knew what was going on. Nothing was done. Her parents knew what was going on. And it doesn't sound like they intervened or did anything really. And clearly there was a lot of resentment there because part of the reason why she did what she did apparently was also to kind of get at her parents. That is so troubling. And immediately, remember, they tried to make this out about, oh, people bullied this. She didn't just bully people. She went and murdered people. When you look at it per capita, sorry, but there are way many more violent trans Tifa activists that are carrying out these grotesque performances of violence against innocent people than those who would carry out any kind of assault or battery against a trans Tifa person or a trans person. when you consider that they're not even, they're barely 1% of the population. That's a pretty startling discrepancy there. Our partners over at ReadyWise want to make sure that you're prepared. You don't need a disaster to prepare for major emergencies. And honestly, if you're preparing after a disaster happens, you're just doing it way too late. You need to make sure that you're prepared before something strikes, whether it's weather, whether it's like a supply chain issue, whatever it is. It gives you some peace of mind. And plus, you don't have to worry about inflated prices or crowded stores or a run on supplies. And you can get direct access to top quality food whenever you need it by ordering directly from ReadyWise.com. And when you use promo code Dana20, you'll get 20% off any regularly priced item at ReadyWise.com. They have their all their food, high quality U.S. ingredients packed at their U.S. state-of-the-art plant. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water, 25-year shelf life. The time to prepare is now. So visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com. Code Dana20.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So do you remember the McCluskeys, Mark and Patricia McCluskey from my hometown of St. Louis? So they are demanding, they were the ones who BLM protesters broke through onto private property and were like on their property, like threatening them. Well, they're demanding that the city return the two guns that they took from them. They were the, because they went to court, they were charged, they filed requests to have their convictions wiped away. They pled guilty to misdemeanor charges in 2021. On Wednesday, one of the judges, the judge expunged the charges from the records following the incident because they were legitimately threatened, and you could hear threats on audio. And that area is literally private property. They destroyed, the protesters destroyed a fence to get there. And they said that they want their guns back. They want their records expunged. So their fight still is continuing. And we'll see how that goes. I mean, it's, you know, St. Louis judges. We'll see. This is a new link associated with xylitol. Xylitol is in a lot of keto stuff. And so it's a common sugar substitute. Now they're saying that it's linked to blood clots and all this stuff. I'm sure it's not the vax, though. There's literally never been any problems with it up until, like, I just don't like the taste of it. I can taste it. I'm not a fan of the taste of xylitol. But I'm sure it's not the injections, guys. I'm sure it's not. This, it's an at-home brain zapper that helps binge eaters lose weight. This sounds kind of dangerous, and it looks ridiculous to wear. They said that it can be carried out at home. It helps people lose weight, a lot of weight in 6 weeks. They said it's called transcranial direct current stimulation, and this sounds comfortable. It fires a gentle electronic pulse via electrodes on the scalp, causing a slight excitation of brain cells, and it's supposed to like stop the people who are binge eaters. And apparently they're saying that it helps them. But you have to wear this wrap on your head, and it's weird. It looks weird. I don't know. Do you want to look weird, or do you just want to like work out and watch what you eat? I don't know. Now a new test is promising to predict dementia 9 years before the diagnosis. Kane, who hates the injection, says that you can, well, he adds that he can predict it too if you took the vax. Oh gosh. It's not like you really hate it or anything, right? Yeah, it's a new test. They tested 103 people who had dementia. 81 had brain scans between 5 months and 8.5 years before being diagnosed. And they said that it can predict with up to 80% accuracy dementia. And they analyze the network of connections in the brain when it's in idle mode to look for early signs of the condition. It was Queen Mary University of London. And they said their method is better than memory tests or measurements of brain shrinkage. And so they looked at, 1,100 people from around the UK, a database that contained genetic and health information. So that's, they said it's pretty, they're saying that it's accurate. They're saying that it's really accurate. So we'll see. We'll see if that actually is something that is helpful. Qatar has issued an ultimatum to Hamas. You better take this deal that's been passed or get out. That's what they're saying. Take the deal or get out. And I don't know. It's hasn't been really widely reported by a lot in mainstream media, but we'll see. But that's their ultimate issue. And we were just telling you, too, that the writings from the Nashville trans Tifa activists, those journal entries and all of that stuff has been released. And we were going over some of that. We'll have more of that to go over as well. And additionally, now I can't get any other. All my stuff is frozen because, yay. We have Pete Hegseth. He's coming up after this next break. He's going to be joining us, and he's got a new book out talking about, really, you got the Pentagon, you got the DOD that's been going after our servicemen and women. We're going to talk about how and why. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a really common sense guidance that the president has now given to Ukraine. When they are under imminent threat and it's just across the border and they know they're going to get hit, they should be allowed to hit back. In that kind of scenario. Now, right now, Jake, while you and I are talking, the only place where that really applies with the geography is up north of Kharkiv, where the Russians had until very recently tried to pressure that city. It seemed to look like they're kind of backing off right now. There's no other place really in Ukraine geographically where that's likely to happen.
Wow. So that's John Kirby, who's talking about this story that we have been, you know, kind of touched on yesterday when we were discussing the 80th observation of D-Day, Ukraine using U.S. weapons inside of Russia for the first time since apparently the Biden administration cleared it, okayed it for, they okayed it last week. Welcome back to the program. We are at the bottom of this second hour. Quick programming note, we're not going to have Pete Hegseth. We weren't able to get him. So we're moving on. The Hill reported how the Ukrainian Ukraine's parliamentary member, Yehor Cherniev, confirmed that U.S.-made high-mobility artillery rocket systems hit Russian logistics and artillery locations inside of Russia near Ukraine's northeast region of Kharkiv, where Moscow has been conducting their offensive. So the reason why this is incredibly newsworthy is because, A, it's the first time that it's been done, but also Biden said that American weapons were not going to be used. You remember this. He said he secretly gave them permission to do it, too, via Politico. So he told you all of us, one thing. He said American weapons are not going to be used to strike Moscow and the Kremlin. It's not going to happen. He had said that. He said this, in fact, in an interview just the other day, pull this up, USA Today, he was talking with David Muir, ABC. This was on yesterday. He asked whether or not American weapons were being used in Russia, and he said no. He said they're authorized to be used in proximity to the border, meaning in proximity of Russia. He says, we're not authorizing, historic quote, we are not authorizing strikes 200 miles into Russia, and we're not authorizing strikes on Moscow, on the Kremlin. But Politico notes that he secretly gave Ukraine permission to strike inside Russia with U.S. weapons. A major reversal. A stunning shift, you could say. That's pretty significant. And they had been saying this entire time that this wasn't going to happen. Well, now it's happened. And now you got Kirby going out there saying they should be allowed to hit back. Is anyone going to ask, wait a minute, why are you telling us this when the president literally just yesterday in an interview with ABC's David Muir said that this isn't going to happen, that it was he was very careful to say it was in proximity of the border, but it wasn't in the border, it was in proximity. That's pretty significant. That's a huge, so who's directing the policy here? Biden's on one page and all his surrogates are on the other page. Biden's telling people in the press, no, I didn't give, there's no, they're not using American weapons in Russia. It's near Russia. It's near the proximity to Russia. It's not in Russia. That's what he's saying. All of his surrogates are going, nope, they're in. And that makes common sense. You heard Kirby. He says, oh, it's just, you know, it's common sense. They should be allowed to hit back. That's it. Listen to this. This is some of that audio. Steve's got this audio. I mean, this was literally just yesterday that he said this in this interview with David Muir. Literally just yesterday. And now all the headlines are this today. If we have this,
I know,
go ahead,
for years you've resisted the idea of American weapons being used for any sort of direct strike inside Russia. But we did witness this shift in recent days, authorizing American weapons for limited direct strikes Are American weapons being used right now inside Russia?
They're authorized to be used in proximity to the border. We're not authorizing strikes 200 miles into Russia. We're not authorizing strikes on Moscow, on the Kremlin.
What does it sound like to you? They're not. But then Kirby, can I play this one more time? Sorry, audio soundbite 10. That was the audio we just played was Joe Biden yesterday. This is Kirby now. Listen.
This is a really common sense guidance that the president has now given to Ukraine when they are under imminent threat and it's just across the border and they know they're going to get hit. They should be allowed to hit back in that kind of scenario. Now, right now, Jake, while you and I are talking, the only place where that really applies with the geography is up north of Kharkiv, where
the Russians had it. So what is the correct policy? So you have Kirby saying this. That was last night. Just earlier, hours earlier, Biden said what he said when we played that, oh, no, they're not using those weapons inside Russia. What is the correct policy here? And do you see how dangerous this is? Do you see how dangerous this is? We don't know what our foreign policy. Well, first off, we don't even know what our foreign policy objective is over there. What is our objective in Ukraine? What is the objective of us continuing to subsidize this? What is the objective? Name without flying into the, and I'm using this word correctly, the neocon argument. And it's not isolationist. I'm not an isolationist. I'm just a common sensealist. That's the difference. I mean, I want to know what the objective is and what American interests are threatened, because these are our tax dollars. The looking at Ukrainian government officials not getting their pensions is not an American interest to me, nor should it be to you. Just like whether or not American workers get their pensions is not Ukrainian of Ukrainian interest. Oh, but the Russia, you mean the vassal state of China at this point? Come on. But now Politico says, no, he gave it secret. Well, it's not a secret anymore. It's not a secret anymore. They said that with in a discussion with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin on Wednesday, Ukraine's defense minister, Rustem Umerov, made a hard push to use U.S. weapons in Russia. And it seems like he was successful. The U.S. has always said that Ukraine must misuse American weapons only like in Ukraine. You can't, you know, not to hit infrastructure, all of this stuff. And now they're trying to give us assurances that, well, it's only going to be, you know, in response, in retaliation out of Russian military sites. Really? Really? You're going to believe the promises made by Ukraine's government and our government? Really? Good grief. We don't even have a clear objective. My heavens. So this is, and I'm just shocked that the media is not pushing on this harder. Can you imagine if Trump was saying that, no, we're not using American-made weapons and using them inside of Russia, and then all of his surrogates came out and said, well, hell yeah, we are. Can you imagine? Cain, what did they try to impeach him on? A perfect phone call. Oh, yeah. And they tried to get him on a phone call where he didn't say the things that they claimed that he said. Asinine. But that's where we are. That's where we are. It's stunning, really. A couple of things here. Speaking of the president, Biden, his speech is getting really slammed. A lot of people are pointing out all these other leaders that were giving these addresses. Some were saying that he was trying to basically plagiarize his Pointe du Hoc speech in Normandy. And audio soundbite 20. I think that they were trying to make this like the Gipper speech, as we mentioned yesterday. It wasn't happening. But now the reactions are still coming in. It's pretty amazing. Listen to this.
We talk about democracy, American democracy. We often talk about the ideals of life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. What we don't talk about is how hard it is. How many ways we're asked to walk away, how many instincts are to walk away. The most natural instinct is to walk away.
Yes, that's your instinct, is to walk away from that. Yes, that is your instinct. And then he did kind of like awkwardly walk away. In the meantime, his son is in court, and I saw a headline that says Hunter Biden was seen wiping tears away as his eldest daughter testified. Prosecution was arrested. Now it's defense. They're saying that it was one of his first real displays of emotions at the trial. His daughter with his ex-wife, Naomi, who got married at the White House and stayed at the White House for a while. She said that she was talking about meeting with her dad and his sober coach and all of this. And Hunter Biden said that he was wiping tears away as she was testifying. You did that to your daughter. You did that. It's been a very interesting day for them because they've had the ex-wife. They've had the daughter. Now it looks like I think they got Hallie Biden is going to be going up there testifying. And his Instagram influencer wife has to sit there and listen to all of it. Just utterly all of this because he wouldn't stop with the hookers and blow. And then he bought a gun while doing all of it.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
I love how Daily Mail is like exclusive. Okay, I'm about to share with you maybe one of the freakiest Florida Man stories of all time. If you're having your lunch nummies right now, I might ask you to hold off on those nums here for a second, okay? Yeah, it's one of them. Here's the headline. We're just going for it, all right? Florida's man colon explodes after coughing and sneezing at the same time in a diner, causing his intestines to fall out of his body.
What?
Dude. A man was eating breakfast with his wife when a cough and a sneeze at the same time left him with a freak injury. His colon exploded. What? And it made his, I don't know how your intestines fall out of your body because of it, but that's how it happened. Yeah. I'm just going to keep reading it.
So that's what happened?
The 63-year-old noticed a wet sensation followed by a sharp pain when he lifted his shirt. So it said he had abdominal surgery, but his incision had already been well healed, doctor said. But apparently it ripped it open and his guts came out of his surgical wound. I am so sorry. His wife called an ambulance. Paramedics said that they saw it and they were like, he was immediately rushed to the hospital. They successfully fixed him. He was in the hospital for 6 days, sent home, experienced no further complications. They're putting his case in the American Journal of Medical Case Reports. They said it's a rare but serious complication of surgery when that, especially after it's healed, where it can be reopened. And it's a freak thing that it happened like that. I actually am curious as to whether or not he tried to suppress it, the sneeze in that.
Maybe.
Like, you can't do that.
Like that might have been what did it.
Never suppress, because
I've always wondered what would happen if you would cough and sneeze at the same time. Apparently this.
Your guts will fall out.
I'm not interested.
His whole guts fell out. That's crazy. All of his guts. That's, well, not all, but golly, can you imagine? This is the dumbest Florida man ever. He led cops on a nearly 100 mile per hour chase, and then he jumped into a pond to avoid arrest. What have we talked about with ponds, guys?
Gators.
It's where the gators live. Yeah. I'm just looking at the pond, and it's like a blurry still from a body cam footage, and it looks dirty and murky. Why would you do that? That's a gator country. Anyway, he jumped into the pond. Jeffrey Treffy, 46 of Naples.
JT.
Jeffrey Treffy. What? He's a real person. It was in a red BMW, and he sped past the deputy in a marked patrol car. They chased him. He crashed onto a dirt embankment, jumped into a retention pond. They got him out. Thankfully, no gator ate him. No gator ate anybody, but good heavens. Oh, man. Let's see. I'm going to get into this. I don't have this on my list, but this is a Florida woman who called 911 on herself during an attempted carjacking so she could do it legally. She wasn't being carjacked. She was trying to steal a car from a dealership. And Christy Turman, age 37, called Lee County Sheriff's Office because she wanted the authorities to know that she literally said this during the 911 call, quote, "Because I'm trying to steal a car that's not legally mine, so y'all better come and make a report. I'm reporting this." They arrived. They found her exiting the driver's side of the stolen Toyota Corolla. There's more. She told deputies she was being trained in a game of Black Ops to steal a car, but called authorities to make it legal.
What?
She's arrested and facing trespass charges.
Narrator says,
yeah,
it's not legal.
I'm trying to figure out, she was being trained in a game of Black Ops to steal a car? Where does that come from? Where is that? And then she called the police. That's like the Cops episode that I watch where two women were fighting over a crack rock in the street because apparently one woman purchased the crack rock and the other woman like stole it. And the woman who purchased the crack rock called police and said, she reported the other lady, literally called 911, said she stole my crack rock. And the cops were like, ma'am, you know crack is illegal. I swear to you, hands to the sky. She goes, yeah, but ain't stealing illegaler. This woman legit was thought, wait, she thought that you could make it legal just by calling the cops and telling them you're doing it.
Is that a setting, ETA 6 or something?
Yeah, what is the whole Black Ops to steal a car? Is that GTA?
I have no idea.
Jiminy Christmas. Video games lead to violence, they say. Shush up. Oh my gosh, but wait, there's more. Oh, let's see. This is this headline is just adorable. A pair of middle fingers leads to road rage ramming at Wellington Green Mall. Wellington, Florida. An exchange of middle fingers on the road to the mall at Wellington Green led to a scary scene. They said that one of the drivers in a Honda Accord went to the parking lot. The other guy turned in and they hit the gas. Volkswagen Passat met the Honda Accord. Mashing and chaos. There were arrests. Third hour on the way. Don't miss.
But you mentioned another network, so I might as well just think about what kind of questions you would be asked on other unnamed networks. But do you think it would tarnish your reputation to be picked as a vice president for a convicted felon?
Not at all, because the reality, I'll tell you what, I'm a former trial court judge. And the reality is the rulings made by this trial judge in New York are completely wrong in so many respects. Look at the jury charge alone. And so there's every reason to expect this decision to be overturned. But also most Americans view this as a miscarriage of justice.
Who's that guy that was asking? I don't even know who that cat was that was asking Texas Governor Greg Abbott.
He's usually pretty center-left.
Is he? Why was he sitting there like, he just had attitude. Like he asked him the question and you could tell he got real high on his own supply as he asked him that question.
If you remember a few weeks back, he was the one that actually approached Pete Buttigieg. Remember, he was the one that was frustrated on him not answering the questions.
Yeah.
So I look at this guy as like a center, almost center right type guy.
I hate everybody. It doesn't matter to me. Really, center right. I don't care. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Top of this third hour. You can watch us everywhere, although apparently we're being throttled to the nth degree on X right now. Like none of my retweets are showing up. Nothing. It's not counting like the views on the stream. So who knows? It's just another day in the neighborhood, right? But you can find we're all over if we're not being throttled to death, which actually is impactful professionally as well. At some point, you know, people are going to have class action suits against this stuff. It's insane. But it's good to be with you guys this Friday. We the nightmares persist and so must we. That's our mantra. All right. So we got Governor Greg Abbott. He's going to show up later on this hour. So we're going to talk with him about the border stuff, et cetera, because the numbers that are coming across the border are still pretty unbelievable. Also unbelievable, the amount of people that come into the country illegally, and that's apparently driving the job numbers that we talked about this earlier this week that Democrats are trying to claim is a great thing. They're trying to say, look at how many jobs we've added. The problem, though, is that it is this hiring is still, well, it's actually being driven, number one, by government jobs. That's the big thing still. I just think about that for just a moment. The government has gotten so big that it's not the private sector that's adding all these jobs. It's literally the federal government. That's insane. For it to drive it is insane. And then you have this addition of those who come into the country illegally. And then here's this as well. Let me these are not full-time jobs that are being added. In fact, when you look at the Bureau of Labor Statistics information, these are part-time jobs. Democrats are saying that this is great. It's indicative of a booming economy. However, I distinctly remember Democrats, when people were getting part-time jobs, this was right after Trump got into office, and they were talking about the number of jobs that were being created. Again, right after he got into office. So the economy hadn't had a chance to turn around. It was like his first couple of months. And I remember distinctly the discussion was on the stock market's reaction to, this is back in 2016, the Trump presidency and how it was performing and what the job projections were going to be, et cetera. And Democrats were raging. They're like, the only thing that's added is part-time jobs. Can you remember this?
Oh, yeah.
Part-time jobs, that's nothing. They were acting like it was nothing. Okay, so Dems the rules. These are part-time jobs that are being added. The numbers that's out, and you've got a number of entities that have this. There were about 133.3 million people employed in the U.S. in May with full-time jobs. That is 625,000 fewer than the previous month. Now, when you look at part-time jobs, that has surged by a little over 286,000 to just a bit over 28 million. That is via Bureau of Labor and Statistics, BLS.gov, and it's their latest news release for today. The total amount of American workers, that it's decreased by 408,000 because there was a loss in part-time jobs that went to 161 million. Now, these are part-time jobs that are being added. And Democrats are trying to make it seem like, no, the problems are being solved. Look at this. These are full-time jobs. This is great. And then, of course, you have the big driver of this, which is government jobs. Again, the federal government hiring more than the private sector. The job additions that were, let's see, the part-time jobs that were added, you had, and this always gets revised down. So remember that. It's always revised down. Job additions, you had government, leisure, and hospitality. Those are the top two sectors. The government. So the government is the number one driver of jobs. That's how big your federal government is getting. They are the number one driver of job growth right now is the government. Now, who pays those jobs? Who pays for those people, Kane?
That would be us.
And we are the
taxpayers.
Taxpayers. Okay. So think about this for a moment.
Yeah. They don't add to the tax base.
They're taking from it. So it is a creation, a wild expansion of government. Government jobs driving job creation. We're paying their salaries. How is that a net benefit? How is that a benefit? And then the second is leisure and hospitality. Those are part-time. That's part-time work. Now, when you look at the full-time employment fell again by over 625,000. So when you have that, oh, the government added 272,000 jobs, full-time employment fell by 625,000. Part-time employment rose by 286,000. The unemployment rate also increased to 4%. This has been the biggest drop in the past 6 months. This is not indicative of a healthy labor market. It's not indicative of a healthy economy either. So this is, I mean, they're gaslighting you into making you think that our economy is great. Look at the jobs we're adding. They just want to give you numbers and a narrative. They don't want you to break it down and actually look at it for yourself. This is bad. Super bad. And I mean, you're not going to be able to lie to people. You can't lie to people in the news media about what they're paying for at the grocery store. You're not going to sit here and lie to somebody about how much it takes to fill up their tank. You're not going to lie to them about the reality of how far their dollar stretches. That's not something that you're going to do. Not at all. And this is what's so frustrating about this. No one's buying this. No one's buying this at all. Somewhat related. I got to tell you about this. So remember the air conditioning rules that Biden proposed? Well, those are going to come into effect in 2025, guys. Mm-hmm. The way that it's promoted is that they're going to undergo significant upgrades in 25, right? Because they want to improve energy efficiency. They want stricter energy efficiency standards. And this is a part of a broader effort to reduce energy consumption, et cetera, et cetera.
Under what authority?
The refrigerants that are going to be used in the units, they have to be phased out in favor of what they call, which are crappier, environmentally friendly alternatives. Yeah. They're worse. They're bad. And they said that you're rolling out these new refrigerants and they're stopping production of the current refrigerant that everybody uses. It's great. This is not what is contributing to quote unquote global warming, guys. Are you kidding me? And then it's that HVAC refrigerant mandate. And the new systems are going to be more expensive. Listen to this. They like throw this out like it's an aside. The guy who heads this, what's his face? Well, his last name's Howard. I don't know. Paul Howard. He was saying that the increase in cost in terms for an AC install, when all of this new stuff comes out, you're looking at an increase of 20 to 25% cost for consumers. So they've made it more expensive all around. Because you can't use that new refrigerant in current units. And then, So 20 to 25%, we got that money lying around, Kane, right? Yeah, we got it lying around. We got it. So this is all, they have a deadline in 2025. This is like when they did that phosphate stuff with the dish soap.
Yeah, but they also convince us to subsidize with solar and wind, and a lot of states, including Texas, has done it. But has it reduced your energy bills?
No.
Of course not.
It hasn't.
It's all lip service BS.
I think that the people who are so hell-bent on making everything be electric and all that, I think that you should have everything powered only by solar or wind. I think that the people who promote all this stuff, they should drive EVs that can only be powered by solar or wind, right? No electricity. Because, you know, electricity is manufactured in over 86% in coal-powered plants. That's where the electricity comes from. So you should only be able to use... See, if I were president, I would make this executive order. You're only allowed... If you're pushing this, you are only allowed to power your home on solar or wind or... Yeah. I was thinking of hydropower. You know, maybe if they live, like, near a waterfall or something. That's it. That's all you get. You can only power your stuff on that. Your whole house, your vehicle, everything. If you got to go to the hospital, only wind or solar. You know, if you believe in it so much, can only be powered by wind or solar. I'd write that EO. Mm-hmm. I'd push that EO. I'd see somebody. I would make that happen. I'd be like, yeah, even when you got to get surgery, all the instruments, that's your heart machine keeps you alive. Yeah. No, only wind or solar. That's it. I mean, because you believe in it that much, right? Prove it. Prove it before you make all of us. Change our lives. Prove it. Just saying. We have more on the way. We got headlines coming up. And then we got Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who's going to be joining us as well. You don't want to miss, because we got a lot to talk about with him. He hasn't had anything to do lately. You know, the border's been flex sealed by Joe Biden. It's all done, right? All done.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So interesting. Apparently, more Alphabet adults live in the South than any other region, according to this is ABC News. And they said 5 million, 35% in the South. And this is 3.4 out West, 2.9 like in the Central and North, etc. 5 million in the South. So that's kind of interesting. But I thought that the South is bad for them. That's what I was told that for forever. A Texas man catches a terrifying disease from biblical times after eating contaminated lamb meat in a case that has shocked doctors. The guy's in his 50s. He said the animal had been healthy on his ranch. And this Yeah, and had been healthy. Died suddenly, prompting him to prepare the meat and eat it with two other people. He was admitted to the hospital because he suffered blister swelling. Ew, rotting black skin on his arm. This is so gross. Okay, that's nasty. I don't really need to see pictures. It's so gross. Ooh. Mm-hmm. They said apparently when he gutted the animal, bacteria got on his skin. Okay, there's a reason why you don't eat, you know, if it dies in a grody way on your farm, you don't really eat it. You know, I mean, everybody knows this. So they said there's like an anthrax triangle. They said it had anthrax. It got infected with anthrax, but apparently it ingested anthrax spores and it can trigger sudden death in sheep with no symptoms, etc. And they said that there's an anthrax triangle from Eagle Pass to Uvalde up to Ozona in Texas. I didn't even know that. Did you know that?
No.
I didn't know that either. Let's see. This ancient walking tree wins tree of the year. It looks like an ant. It's just a neat tree in New Zealand. That's all you need to know. It's a cool looking tree that looks like an ant from Lord of the Rings. A naked woman shot a man with his gun unprovoked in Vegas. Wow. This is just, these headlines just keep on coming. A woman faces charges, including attempted murder. Police said that she shot a man in his own home with his own gun. And she was totally in her birthday suit. And they said that they went to the residence. You know, of course, she was ended up being arrested. I'm not going to get into everything because it's gross. The victim was able to call 911. He had no idea why it happened. And he identified her in a lineup. So good grief. Just going into people's houses and let's see. This is, did we talk about the magnet fishing?
Yeah, but this is a different magnet
fishing story. Another skull?
Yeah, the last one was a safe of $100,000.
Oh, golly. A human skull padlocked to a dumbbell was pulled out of the water by a fisherman who is magnet fishing. The report was released by the New Orleans Advocate. Apparently, he also found an old gun barrel in the water as well on May 18th. The dumbbell was padlocked around the skull. It was fully composed, lacking a jaw or top row of teeth.
Dude was a metalhead.
A metalhead. We've got Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who's going to be joining us here coming up on Biden's new fix for the border, because it's worked so well, guys. Stick with us.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage, by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Laura, that order is in effect today, too, and it is having little to zero impact. If anything, it's gotten busier out here in San Diego sector. Step out and give you a look. This is a large group that just crossed illegally a short time ago. Talk to them, many of them from Egypt, from China, and from Turkey. They are now out here waiting for Border Patrol in the hot sun.
And they would be in Texas, but now they're all going to California because Texas, even though the federal government won't do its duty and keep the borders closed, Texas is. Joining me now is the governor of the great Republic of Texas, my governor, Greg Abbott. Good to see you, sir.
You too, Dana.
It's good news that the number of people crossing illegally have decreased in Texas. The bad news is that it's increasing in other border states. That was a report from Bill Malugin. And it's because of the efforts that you and Border Patrol have been making at the southern border, despite the fact that, you know, the president said that he's basically flex sealing it closed with his executive order.
Well, first, so you'll know, and that is Texas has done several things to lead to a dramatic decrease in illegal crossings into Texas. One, you will remember that park in Eagle Pass, Texas, that's about 50 acres in size, that had about 5,000 people crossing illegally a day. And I ordered the National Guard to wire that park shut. And ever since then, like for the last 2 months, for example, we've had on average only about 2 people crossing a day, not thousands. And then we have expanded those operations, whether it be building a border wall like the Trump border wall, expanding more than 100 miles of this razor wire wall, having the National Guard with weapons behind razor wire to ensure that people do not cross illegally. In the state of Texas, illegal immigration has gone down 75% while it's been going up in New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Deterrence does work. Listen, I'll be happy to expand our efforts into New Mexico, into Arizona, into California, if their governors would allow me to do so that Texas could seal the entire border of our southern border of the United States of America.
And I would think that they would like that. They would want that. They would want that help. I wanted to ask you too, as well, Governor. You've made a most wanted criminal illegal immigrants list. It's Texas's top 10. I'm looking at it now. And you've already, there's already been arrests made on this. And these are dangerous people. I know that there were some open border progressives that were quite upset that you made this list, but I think it's helpful to, as an aid to law enforcement, because these are dangerous. These are dangerous criminals that are just coming across the border freely.
So these are illegal immigrants who cross into the United States illegally, and they are found in the state of Texas, and they are wanted for crimes like murder, like rape. Six of the top 10, if I recall correctly, also had on their record assault of a child. And so these are very dangerous people. The public needs to know they're very dangerous. If anybody in Texas, you can go to the Texas Department of Public Safety website, see who these 10 people are. Only nine now, because as you point out, we've arrested one. But see who they are. And if you learn anything about it, be sure and report it to Crime Stoppers. If you don't know the number, it's 1-800-252-TIPS.
Easy to remember. Talking to Texas Governor Greg Abbott, the president's executive order, odd because he's doing a 180 on all of these other executive orders that former President Trump had. I mean, these are things that Biden did his first 100 days in office. I think 94 moves that he made to just sort of loosen up the restrictions at the border, open the border up. But they don't, they're really kind of toothless, Governor, because they say that they're going to limit these closures, or rather moratoriums, are only going to go into effect if there's something like 2,500 crossings. But then it's up to the discretion of another government, unelected government bureaucrat. So it's really a toothless proposal, and it's not going to do anything to reduce the deluge at the border.
You're 100% correct. And to be clear, you know, you said that Biden did a 180. Actually, it's a 180 in form, but not in substance, because going back in time, you know, 4 years ago, we had the most secure border in 45 years, and the lowest number of illegal immigrants crossing the border under President Trump because of the policies he put in place. On day one, when Joe Biden took office, he eliminated all those policies that led to that record low illegal immigration. And now we have the highest number of illegal immigrants ever. And what Biden is doing, he sees his polling is way upside down on this. He sees he may be losing the presidential race because of his open border policies. And he's trying to do something. But in reality, as you point out, he's accomplishing absolutely nothing. Because automatically he's saying that 2,500 people get to cross the border illegally a day. And then supposedly, magically, mystically, the border is going to shut down. That's not the way that it works. He's provided nothing whatsoever to secure the border, to deny illegal entry, to send people back. And so what this actually does, Dana, is the contrary of being a deterrent. This is now an enticement for people to rush the border, come to the United States in greater numbers illegally. And going back to your lead-in, that's exactly what Bill Mnuchin has been showing through video, showing the mass, large number of people who are coming in completely undeterred. One last point along these lines. Bill Mnuchin interviewed these people, asked why you're coming. Person after person after person gave him a reason. None of it was for legitimate asylum claims. So the people coming across the border, they could care less about Joe Biden's asylum policy. They're coming here and they're getting here because they want to be here illegally.
Yeah. And isn't it true, Governor, that there is a cutoff as to how many asylees that the United States can accept even in a year? And if you have all these people abusing that rule, then what happens to people that are genuinely seeking asylum and they're unable to get in?
Well, you're spot on, because there are people across the world, for whatever reason, in whatever country at any particular time, that do have a legitimate asylum claim. Most of these people, as in seemingly about 99% of these people who are crossing the border, do not have legitimate asylum claims. But I heard a readout of some of the reasons why under Biden's new policy, asylum at least could be granted, at least they could stay here. It would be if they just said that they are in fear of their life, if they said they were not afraid, if they were silent in response to the question. All those would be ways in which they would construe that the person actually does have fear. I mean, it's idiocy. It's crazy. And the American people need to know that Joe Biden is just gaslighting his fellow Americans.
Yeah, I read that they can even be expressed non-verbally. And I thought, how in the world are you going to express non-verbally that you live in fear for your life and you want to make an asylum claim? That's a pretty big statement to express non-verbally. That's goofy. That doesn't make any sense. One of the things, Governor, that in the president's his executive orders, he said that, you know, they're going to make it to where we decrease the amount of fentanyl and other drugs that are coming across the border. And he wanted to add, I think it was 100 screening machines to screen for fentanyl. That does not seem like that's going to do. How would that reduce it?
It will not. Wherever those screening machines are placed, the cartel will know actually before those machines are put in place, and they will redirect their fentanyl to other locations. And so it will do again, absolutely nothing. It shows how ignorant Joe Biden is about how the southern border really works.
We have 100 some odd new immigration judges, even though a lot of people aren't even necessarily given a trial date. Or it's not followed up on. None of that does, your methods are working, their methods aren't working. This election, I mean, obviously everybody's hopeful that we don't have a Democrat majority in the House and we don't have a Democrat president after November. But what are you doing in the meantime to kind of like gear up for worst case scenario?
So literally, as we speak right now, we have thousands of National Guard on the border. And they are building more razor wire border barrier every single day. This has proven to be extraordinarily effective at denying illegal entry. And so we are expanding our efforts. And also today, we're adding more of the same border wall that Donald Trump put up in the state of Texas. You know, when you look at the wall already put up, the amount under construction right now, Texas has added more of the Trump border wall than Trump put up in the state of Texas.
That's impressive. That's impressive. And that's a nice border wall, too. Governor, while I have you, I wanted to ask a quick question about Kane. My producer calls it Y'all Street, the new Texas stock exchange. I do like Y'all Street, by the way. I think that would, you know, I'm just saying maybe we should seriously consider that as the official name for it. I love that we have our own grid, that we've got our own gold reserve. It's a very self-sustaining republic. There have been a couple of questions about BlackRock's involvement in this. And I just wanted, what do you say to those people, you know, like-minded folks, because you've been very critical of BlackRock yourself. I mean, you've been one of the more vocal leaders that have been very critical of it. What do you tell, you know, conservatives that are kind of, you know, a little nervous about BlackRock's involvement in the creation of this new Texas stock exchange?
Sure. Two things. One is know that this is something that actually does not involve the state, does not involve government or anything like that. This is totally a private enterprise. Second, what many of the viewers would not know, and that's the extent to which BlackRock has been reaching out. They have repeatedly told myself, the lieutenant governor, and other state officials that they have now changed. They are no longer pushing this ESG woke agenda. That completely backed off of it. And you know, part of the policies of the Texas Stock Exchange is to get away from the woke agenda that's being imposed by the NASDAQ and maybe the New York Stock Exchange. So we're going to have a market that's going to focus on one thing only, and that's capitalism. And we have a need for it in the state of Texas, and that's because we have oil and gas companies that may need to access capital through the public markets. And we want to make sure that we have a venue for that at a time when New York and Chicago and other places may be trying to shut down things like that. So here's my point to connect all this together. And that is, BlackRock is a part of this, understanding that the core elements of this are getting rid of ESG, getting rid of DEI standards, getting rid of exchanges, telling businesses who they must hire to put on their boards of directors. And so what BlackRock is trying to do basically is going on an apology tour and a change tour where they're changing their past behavior and correcting their past behavior.
Very interesting. We're going to watch this with obviously great interest. Texas Governor Greg Abbott, always appreciate your fight, sir. We appreciate your strong attention at the border. Thank you for what you do. Good to see you.
Thank you.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Welcome back to the program, Dana Lash, with you as we wrap up this broadcast day. And so I got to tell you, we got this email from this listener who wrote in. I'll just say his first name. His name's Bob. He wrote in and was very upset by something that I said yesterday. He was very upset because he thought I disrespected illustrious President Joe Biden. He had said, you know, those are my words, illustrious, because he sounds very, very offended on behalf of Joe Biden. And so Bob, who I didn't know people still used AOL, but I'm just, you know, good for you. He had said that he heard my comments on Biden, and he was mad because I made a comment about him stooping and it looked like he was dropping a deuce. Now, the way Bob writes it, he goes, you made a comment on President Biden stooping to touch a grave. He wasn't touching a grave. They weren't standing on the graves. They had a mic. There was a microphone in front of them. Yeah, they were on a, they were, they had a, he had a chair in the background. Why do you have to lie to make a point? That's ridiculous. And then he said that I dishonored the president of the United States, who was merely paying his respects. And he seems very situationally selective in what he wants to include as to what Biden said and what he didn't say. And he said that it was just very mean and disrespectful that I said this, and that I was mean-spirited. And because I didn't honor Joe Biden, that I was cheapening the memory of apparently my grandparents, who would probably seriously disagree with this guy, with Bob. So I'll put it like this, Bob. First off, if you want to have a discussion of disrespect, let's talk about using, in front of these remaining veterans at D-Day, using the opportunity to blast people for not supporting the money laundering efforts in Ukraine, because that's what that is. Let's talk about that for a moment, if you want to have a discussion about what is or is not disrespectful. Using the remaining time that these guys have here, and this might be the last observance that these guys get to attend, and talk about Ukraine and politics when you should just be talking about unity and honoring their sacrifice. If you want to have a discussion about what's disrespectful, that's disrespectful. It's also disrespectful to email me and lie to me and act like Biden was touching a grave when he wasn't. Good heavens. They were on a stage. The stage was not on graves. He wasn't stooping down to touch a grave. He has spatial issues and he couldn't find a chair. Let's be real. So you don't have to lie about this stuff, because that makes me question your motivation, your sincerity, and your objective, which then you get down to later, because he touches on, quote, I also thought about a former president who called the fallen soldiers of World War II losers and suckers. That's a fake story written by a guy who is part of the story laundering oppo with Fusion GPS, Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic, who it was claimed that that Fusion GPS discredited Oppo was leaked to so he could merch it out in the press. And then that could be taken to get this fraudulent wiretapping, the surveillance warrant on political enemies. So if you're going to, I mean, if you're going to cite something as evidence, don't cite a guy who was involved in the Fusion GPS story laundering scheme. Good heavens. If you want to have a discussion about respect and honor, you know, the things that these veterans fought for that you're not demonstrating in this email to me. And you told the line at making me call you out more so than I am now. So don't gaslight me with this stuff. And yes, it's rude and crude to lie to people about standing on graves. It's rude and crude to gaslight people. And it's rude and crude to claim that I should respect the office of someone who has weaponized government agencies, gone after men and women who have merely spoken up at their children's school board meetings, gone after people with the IRS, gone after people with the ATF and every other government agency. Sir, this country was founded on disrespect for incivility and injustice and a lack of attention to liberty. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand America, and you can step the hell off. Send any responses to kissmybackside@mybackside.com.
That's not an email address.
Could be.
That is not a real email address. But, you know, we should let Bob know to look up the wrap-up smear via
it was a fake
Nancy
story.
Pelosi. Yeah. So Nancy Pelosi explains how they can not only make the smear happen, but then merchandise it through the press.
That was part of the lie that said he didn't want to go to that one ceremony because he didn't want his hair messed up. And then later it came out the winds and the rain was so bad, the Secret Service forced him to delay it.
Yep.
And if anything, he didn't want to delay it. He wanted to go pay his respects. And he did not want it to look like he was being insulting. And by the way, I say this as someone who I got my own criticisms of 45. But I have greater criticisms of people who pretend that they're conservative. And then they try to gaslight me about something that I know isn't true. Principles are principles. And don't claim that this guy's not showing them when you don't it either. All right. Today in stupidity.
Yeah, we should bring back Mailbag of Hate.
Man, we're going to have to.
I know. That's what I'm saying. All right. Cut 17-1. This is James Clyburn. Hey, you know the student debt forgiveness? Yeah, it didn't cost anything.
Yeah. Listen to this.
What has happened in the last 4 years on student debt, for instance? Joe Biden has eliminated, just in public service, student loan debt alone, over $60 billion for people saddled with student loan debt.
Who's paying for that, Congressman? It's all well and good, but who's paying for it?
What do you mean?
What do you mean who's paying for it?
Who's paying for that debt relief?
Hold on, listen. Here it is.
Nobody is paying for that.
Nobody. Paying for it.
You know, that's... How do you have interest that there is any principle? That doesn't make any sense. Folks, that does it for us today. Have a great week. Wonderful weekend. I'll be back with you on Monday.